Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Knicks trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three. Bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining. And the Pistons call timeout.
So Jalen Brunson's three, if you haven't seen this highlight.
Woo!
Yeah,
skates.
The guy covering him should be, is he not been memed into eternity right now?
Oh my goodness. I mean he went for a ride.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I don't know who that is from the Pistons. It's not one of their top players that I would be familiar with. It's not Cade Cunningham, for instance.
Well, the Knicks advance.
Which, by the way, if you watched NBA playoffs this year, Cade Cunningham is going to be a dude you need to know for the next 10 years. That guy's awesome.
Jeremy and Joe, we're talking fashion a little bit. Bill's schedule comes out in 12 days, and we've kind of kicked around the idea of what could this rivalry's uniform be, if you are unfamiliar with what that really is. So on Friday of the draft, we found out that the NFL is going to be adding rivalry uniforms, a rivalry's uniform, and stuff that we would buy, too. So it's for fans. They're doing it to sell jerseys. Announcer in the draft, rooted in local community insights. Quote, the designs have been brought to life by pulling inspiration from the history of each market and the aspects of the community that only that team's city embodies. The uniforms will be included in each of the team's uniform lineup for the following 3 years, adding to the existing alternate uniforms they might have. Other teams participate in future years, but it's the AFC East and the NFC West that start it out. So the uniforms to be revealed before the first rivalry game, with the designated games to come after the schedule release May 14th. So the schedule comes out on the 14th. After that, they designate the games. Mm-hmm. And then the uniform, maybe that doesn't come until September, October. I don't know.
Oh, like we won't.
It says before the game. So before the first rivalry game, the uniforms are going to be revealed. Maybe that game is one of the opening night games or opening weekend games. Monday Night Football could be, you know, Seahawks Cardinals or something like that. And here are their rivalry uniforms, and here's the full set of rivalry series uniforms. So, what would a Bills uniform that is brought to life by pulling inspiration from the history of the market and aspects of the community that only Buffalo embodies? That's the task.
That only Buffalo embodies.
Right. And Joe has taken to an online AI image generator and come up with some not great options.
I'm working on, I cannot get this thing to spit out something that looks like the ice blue blizzard style uniform that I'm thinking of, but I've got like a fall themed uniform where the Bills are wearing like an orange that kind of turns to red, kind of a, again, like a little bit of a gradient style uniform.
People are going to hate this thing, aren't they?
This jersey?
Just or this process? This, whatever it is, no, they're going to hate it.
Don't poo-poo new uniform process. Too much of that going on.
Everyone's going to turn into...
You're the kingpin of this, like hating on new uniforms and new logos.
I
like,
was just going to say.
Come on.
Everyone's
fun.
I agree it's fun.
If it's bad, you get rid of it in 12 months.
I defend uniforms. I don't defend team names. That Giants 100th anniversary that was red with like the Wolverine-style helmet, I defended those.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't defend names like the Kraken, and I'm also not going to defend the Mammoth when Utah goes to that.
That's fair. But like soccer, for instance, like you have a new away kit every single year, and you know, like Liverpool wears neon green 1 year, and everybody hates it, but it's okay because they're only going to wear it for 1 year because we'll get something new next year.
Right. If you don't
and then
like
you
it,
like that one where it's marble.
If you don't like it, just wait.
Exactly.
Yeah, Arsenal had uniforms that it looked like a blood spatter on their chest, like someone had murdered them. They had that at one point. They called it like the killer uniforms. It was crazy. Google it. Arsenal murder uniforms.
Did they lose like all their games like 8-0 when they were in them?
803-0550. Bill in Buffalo. Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Good.
Good. I actually had an idea, I think, that would really embody the city that maybe wouldn't be a regional idea either. I think they should do something related to the Erie Canal or our history with the founding of electricity and how to use it for, like, streetlights and different things like that. I think it would be a historical aspect of the city, and at the same time, it would put on display something really unique to the area.
Yeah, I mean, the city flag, of course, is, you know, themed in that way, so something along those lines would be, I think, very cool.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I wonder about it, though, it's will it have to be, would people watching know, oh, that's the Bills playing the Dolphins? Versus, like, these MLB City Connect uniforms, half of the idea is you would turn on a game and say, who's that?
Mm-hmm. And you're questioning the NFL want to do that to the same degree?
I wonder. The red uniforms the Bills wear are pretty sweet. And when they wear, didn't they wear red tops and white pants this year for the first time ever? Which at one point people said they thought the Patriots were red tops and white.
Did they wear it this year?
I think they did.
It was for the Patriots.
Yes. Yes.
They wore red tops, white pants.
They called it the candy cane uniform.
That's right, the candy cane. Yes. And they've got their stormtroopers when they wear white on white, which I like quite a bit. They went to the white face masks. So,
yep.
I don't know. It's. I'm very eager to see what they ultimately look like. What does Miami look like?
Miami, they could do sand? The Vice idea. They
Is
could
it
do beaches.
Sand,
or...
beachy. Like the Rams wear that bone white. Maybe Miami wears some sort of sand-inspired. Who knows? Brandon in Medina. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, guys. Two comments. One, I hope whoever designs it is not the guy that's been designing the draft day hat. They've really messed the last few years on that. And then a uniform idea, if it's against Miami, something that says, I wish it was colder with maybe some snowballs on it.
There you go. Yeah.
Did you just wear a Squish the Fish jersey?
It's got to be some snow. It's got to be a snow theme. I wish it were colder.
Yeah.
A gradient. People love to make. People hate gradient.
I'm doing a gradient one right now. They got some gradient autumn Bills jerseys.
Would you get the autumn out of here?
Fall is elite Bills uniforms.
No. They look like the Browns.
They don't look like the Browns.
Get me a blizzard inspired or a sub-zero inspired idea.
Okay.
Or if you want to just type in like chicken wings and snow and Niagara Falls and see what it pumps out.
You want to just mash it all together?
Yes, all of it.
Did I get a beef on Weck sandwich in there too? Let's just stuff everything that we're known for just into one logo.
What will the Jets be? A skyline? Something like that? What will the Patriots be?
A Jersey swamp.
We get to do the whole AFC East.
Okay, the Jets. Yeah, Jets a skyline or... Right, New York. I mean, you could do a billion things with New York.
Won't the
you?
Rams? The Rams are in this. NFC West is in this. Won't there be some sort of spotlights or Hollywood or something like that?
Yep.
Who knows? Who knows? These are all tough things to guess.
New England could do. Again, like the way they've kind of laid it out makes it so up in the air,
open to interpretation.
Subjective to anybody for what you would want to do, which means. I mean, it could really be anything different. The teams could, you know, I'm sure they would have some say to Nike and how this process is going to go. And they might all want different things. So one team might do it one way and the Bills might do it this way and the Patriots might do it that way. So I don't know how much, of the same you'll kind of get, even just by the theme.
Yeah. 803-0550. 1-888-550-2550.
I think I like the gradient idea. Like the gradient idea. Yeah. Ice blue is our favorite. Ice blue blizzard thing, like where there's no red, there's no like of the regular Bills blue, but it's like a white uniform and the logo would be like ice blue and white. Instead of like more of a royal blue
and
red.
I want a Bills uniform that looks like it's inspired by the Game of Thrones, The Wall.
Like, yeah.
You know, winter is coming. I want a winter is coming themed Bills rivalry uniform with Miami.
Yes.
Because that's the other thing. If it is tied to Miami, that matchup is, we like it when they have to come here in December. Unless, of course, you want to go where it's not, you know, to Miami in December because it's nice out.
Right.
You've never been to Miami, right?
Nope.
The road schedule.
I got to get that on the road schedule.
The road schedule this year, you know, 12 days, we'll know the whole road schedule. The road schedule this year should produce a lot of wins for them and not a lot of great
trip opportunity unless they go to Dublin.
Unless they go to Dublin to play the Steelers, which is that likely? Are the Steelers not enough of a draw? And if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign with the Steelers,
well, that's the thing. Sal had talked about this with Mike North, I think, a little bit, and Sal on his own, maybe more so. That you know, like the timeline of things and like player storylines. So Rodgers in Pittsburgh, like the Steelers going to Dublin, and I remember the original rumor was it was going to be Steelers and Packers. Right?
Yep.
In playing in Dublin. And then that cooled a little bit. And the idea, I think, for a lot of people was, well, are they going to want to do that if Aaron Rodgers is in Pittsburgh? Not even necessarily because of where the game is, but Rodgers' first game against Green Bay. You want that at 9 a.m.? Or do you want that as a primetime game? Or even in a national 4 o'clock window? You want to put that on in the morning on NFL Network? That was the skepticism with that, but he hasn't signed in Pittsburgh. He might not sign or decide what to do by the time the schedule comes out, so at some point they have to make the schedule and say, we just have to pretend Aaron Rodgers doesn't exist and make the schedule as if he's not going to play this year.
And how good does that game have to be?
The Dublin game?
How good? Because
I don't think it has to be amazing.
That's the thing.
Pittsburgh's already...
For a while, you just got games thrown over there. Somebody's going to play the Jaguars. You're going to get bad matchups. Two teams with losing records, not that impressive. And you're Pittsburgh going to Dublin, and you know the Steelers are probably a global brand.
Sure.
Do they want to just throw the Bills in there? Josh Allen. People get up and watch Josh Allen play. It's possible. It would instantly become the Bills' best road trip of the year if you're a fan that wants to travel.
By far.
The other ones are the division, Houston, Atlanta, Carolina. And
I'm sure there'll be a million Bills fans in Carolina. But that a lot of that will be transplants that already live there.
Yep.
And the rest of those, no, like this would be another year where if you want to do a trip a year, like Miami, if you've never done the Miami trip,
yeah,
because the rest of the road schedule that rotates, I mean, they're back in Houston again.
Back in Houston.
I've not been to Houston, so but I've not. It's not like I ever hear like, oh, you got to go to Houston.
I never
for the trip.
No, never hear that.
Yeah,
they go to Cleveland.
Really, I mean Pittsburgh. If it's not in Dublin, will be one of the better trips.
Mm-hmm.
It's drivable. Pittsburgh's great. I love Pittsburgh.
Next up, we'll go to Steve. Steve's up here. Steve in Texas. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Uniforms. Is there a tasteful way to pull off the Zubas?
Oh,
definitely.
Is there a tasteful way to pull off the Zubas?
Standing buffalo with Zubas?
Here's the question I would have about Zubas, Steve. And, you know, we're all here, so because Zubas was for every team, right? Every team had it.
Yeah.
Did Buffalo just like it the most? Was it a bigger thing here than other places?
I don't know. Down here in Houston, I mean, you talk about Zubas, and no one has any idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that. The history of the Zubasification of the NFL, when that happened, was Buffalo the number one place that really thought, like, that's awesome?
It was...
Is there an oral history of Zubas?
There's a Wikipedia page.
Okay. What do you got?
I got that...
One Great Lakes outpost bought 79% of all the Zubas gear. You know, like...
1988, two professional wrestlers started it. But that's still not really marketing ideas. Okay, this is maybe why you can't do it. So those two, they own half the company. They did a deal with JCPenney. High-profile marketing deals with NFL players such as Dan Marino helped the pants become widely popular in the United States.
Okay.
I think if the Dolphins quarterback of all time is the guy that... You know, the part of it is supposed to be only Buffalo. And is this only Buffalo?
Can I give you that?
It seems that Buffalo does it way more than everybody else.
More on the Wikipedia page. Did you think we were going to talk about Zubas today? But here we go.
Or the history of Zubas,
they went
really
bankrupt in 1996, but brought the brand back. Another company bought the trademark rights in 2007. It came back, and in 2014, fully resurfaced, internet storefront, opened its first storefront in the fashion outlets of Niagara Falls. 2016, chose Western New York as its first brick-and-mortar location.
Okay.
Because of a popular association with the Bills.
Okay, they're the Bills.
Then. They're the Zubas team.
Yep, okay. So even though it didn't start here, and Marino was involved like early in marketing, that's the Bills stuff.
Yeah. The fans of the franchise, yeah, says this would have been one of the brand's most loyal customer bases.
Okay, there you go.
From an article in the Buffalo News in 2016.
So if somebody's going to do Zubas, I think the Bills would have the right to it.
Is there a better idea?
But how much am I doing of Zubas? Am I putting it on the helmet? Am I putting it on the pants? Am I putting it on everything? Is it just going to be on the shoulders, the jersey? Like, how much am I putting on? Bills fans wear the pants. Should just the pants be Zubas? And the rest of it is kind of like a normal white Bills uniform?
You don't sell pants. They're selling gear.
Okay, right, yeah.
They're selling gear. You don't sell pants.
Right, they've already sold the pants. Everybody already owns the pants, so you don't need to sell more of them. A whole Zubas Bills jersey, I feel like. should they care about what the rest of the league thinks? People would turn on the Bills game that week and go, what on earth are they wearing?
I mean, maybe the numbers are Zubas.
It'd be tough to see.
I mean, the play-by-play man's nightmare.
Maybe.
But maybe, sure. I think you could do it.
This is a thing.
I'm trying to internally play this out in my own mind, like what the right way to do it would be. But I think there's a way to do it.
803-0550.
I think I still like the ice blue idea better, though.
You're still working on that in the image generator,
though. It won't give me the logo or anything in ice blue. It keeps giving me the regular Bills blue, along with the jersey being more of like a gradient ice blue and white. So I'm still working on it. These things aren't perfect.
Jim in Rochester. Hey, Jim.
Hey. So obviously there's not much sports news. You guys are off to the talking about jerseys and stuff.
This is sports news that the NFL is
making
new jerseys for the Buffalo Bills. So thanks.
Yeah. Who cares?
We do. We do. Thanks.
How about Devin Levi playing out of his mind? The Rochester Amherst on going on to the Calder Cup, and Kyle Clegg, and the rest of the Amherst. What do you think of all that?
Well, we did open the show, the first segment of the show. If you want to rewind back to 6 a.m., the first segment was actually a lot about Devin Levi and whether or not we should plan for him next year, and the Sabres, should they plan for him? Because back-to-back shutouts and a win for the Amherst in that series, they swept the Crunch. And back-to-back shutouts for Levi.
Yep.
It's exciting.
And they're in the second round now.
That's right.
They'll play the winner of Laval and Cleveland.
Yes.
So.
And I am eager to just kind of count on Levi, wondering when that's actually going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm excited to go to a game. I haven't had a chance to yet. They're in the next round. That place has been full for the first two home games. They always play on weekends, yep, which is nice. I like that.
In game two was a bunch of their young guys, Kulik, Roseanne, and Consta Hellenius, who was the pick this year in the draft, all scored in that game.
Yeah. He has to be careful with this, I think. But I talked with Amherst coach Mike Leone on Locked On Sabres earlier in the week, and he compared Hellenius to Marchand.
Brad?
Yeah. Brad Marchand.
Like, in how many ways?
Like, maybe a little, like, what he looks like in the playoffs with, you know, scoring and creating chances and living in his opponent's heads and being physical. I think so he was fighting two of the Crunch players at the end of that game one.
He replaces former Sabres prospect and former Brad Marchand comparison, Matthew Picard. Remember him?
Oh, Matej Picard.
Yeah, okay, sure.
But he did that in development camp.
Okay, that's right.
This is at least in like the AHL playoffs. And he said reminds me of. He didn't say like he's Brad Marchand. So, he's been I guess really exciting through the first couple games.
Thanks, Jim. If you want to go back, opening segment, we talked about it quite a bit. Jimmy in Buffalo is next up. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
I just have a question about like how we just keep getting these one-year rental receivers. I feel like it's not really a good asset to our group. I don't know what you guys have thoughts on that, but Elijah Moore is good to our team, but what are your thoughts on these one-year rentals?
When it's an older player, you know, I'd like them to do something different. With Moore, it's a little different for me because I think if it smashes, which I think there is a little bit of a chance of, that you would want to bring him back in a year if he has if he has 50 catches for 800 yards and all the, you know, us pointing out the quarterbacks he's played with that have been terrible and the terrible organizations he's played with so far, if that is more the reason why he hasn't produced more than his own doing, then in a year I'm going to tell you I want them to pay him at 26 years old and bring him back. Yep. I don't know how much you're going to want to pay him. He's probably going to be, if he were to do what I just said, 50 catches, 800 yards, he gets the Curtis Samuel contract, doesn't he?
Well, I don't know if they...
Like $8
million? I don't know. Can they afford another Curtis Samuel contract? Because on the cap...
Whatever. I mean, I think they can get rid of Curtis Samuel after like this year if it doesn't work.
This is forever going to be a sensitive subject.
But all I mean to say is I like this one a little more than the previous rentals because I feel like there's more of a long-term potential relationship than there would have been with Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right. Well, with more, the guaranteed money is more than anybody else. Like, here's the funny thing. Not funny. Their receivers going into this year are already, I think, way better than they were going into last year. Last year at this time, we were talking ourselves into maybe Chase Claypool is a good buy low risk.
Who had had 7 catches the year before.
Yeah.
And was kicked off a team.
And then it was MVS who they guaranteed some money to. And we thought, like, man, MVS, he drops the ball all the time. He plays with good quarterbacks, but he's just not very good. And he's a speed receiver that can get down the field, and they could never connect with him. This time last year, it was KJ Hamler's and Andy Isabella's. And mm-hmm. I think right now, between Josh Palmer and, of course, like Amari Cooper wasn't on the team star last year. So between Josh Palmer and Elijah Moore, those are two receivers that I think have more ability than the guys they brought in last year. Last year, it was also Mac Hollins. Like, okay, we'll see what kind of role he has. He ends up being a major contributor.
Mm-hmm. Really, again, the big difference between 1 year ago, I tweeted the other day about how like I think Palmer and Moore are more dangerous than Cooper and Hollins. But if I go back 1 year ago, we made a bet that was on that bet board. Were you on the side of 5 guys making the team? And who were the 5 guys?
That's right.
It was Shakir.
It was I bet who could make the team beforehand that there was not really a battle. That
right.
We knew who was going to make the team.
But one of your guys was Claypool.
Yeah.
One of the guys on that team was Claypool, and another one was Mac Hollins.
Right. And Claypool didn't make it in part because he got hurt. It was day to day, and then it was injury settlement.
Right.
And then like Shavers was the next guy up who kind of made the team,
right?
Whatever, stuck around.
And this is where, like, you know, one of the annoying things that Bean is continuing to put out there is that we've never talked about Josh Palmer, because Josh Palmer to me is the biggest catalyst for why they are better at that position right now than they were last year.
Yeah.
But another reason is that fifth guy. Last year, that fifth guy was Chase Claypool, and he was an exciting idea. But to me, Elijah Moore is much more trustworthy of an idea right now than Claypool was a year ago at this time.
To tell you, either you want to say whether it's because they're more desperate or there's more belief, you know, you can put whatever label you want. Claypool was guaranteed $25,000 at signing.
Right.
And Moore, we haven't seen the numbers yet.
But it's going to be in the millions.
It's going to be $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million at signing, I think.
Sure.
Unless they kept him low and the incentives are very easy to gain, which they could be for him because, you know, he had no big numbers last year in one touchdown. He could have a 2-touchdown, $2 million incentive. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Yeah, I think they're in a much better spot than they were this time last year. So that's a good start. And of course, you know, Coleman, Kincaid, things they could glow up a little bit. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. 1-888-550-2550. It's Jeremy and Joe on this Friday. Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus. I just saw he and Steve Palazzolo, they do a podcast called Check the Mic. And the title of their most recent episode on the Bills was "The Bills Are Building a Fortress on Defense." So we'll talk to Sam Monson about that and continue taking your calls here on a fun Friday, Fashion Friday, Football Friday, Devin Levi Friday, really whatever you want. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. NHL playoffs continue. We've got some of our second-round matchups. Vegas-Edmonton is up. Max Pacioretty and the Leafs are on to the next round. They'll play Florida, which is, boy, get through that, and you might have something. Leafs in the conference finals. Is the nation ready for that? Is the world ready for the Leafs getting through the Panthers?
I mean, the most interesting thing to happen in these playoffs would be the Leafs going to the finals.
That's right. Yes, that's
all the way.
Or Edmonton getting back again after getting so close last year.
Is Edmonton-Toronto the best possible finals?
For interest?
Yes. You can right now.
Yes, the other options in the West are Winnipeg, St. Louis, Vegas, Colorado, and Dallas.
Right.
So, yes, for
McDavid versus Matthews, Leafs never winning it, Oilers, McDavid never winning it. I think that'd probably be number one.
Maybe Ovechkin getting in again, going for another one. The Caps are through.
Yeah, especially if he wins it, if he were to win it in the same year he broke the goal record.
Yeah.
That would be better.
You're not saying best matchup. You're just saying objectively
interesting
storyline, interesting. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
803-0550. We've done a couple things today. Just want to reference a tweet here from Gene Battaglia on Devin Levi, because we talked a little bit about Devin Levi, back-to-back shutouts, and Gene there in Rochester on the sports bar at the Fan Rochester, our sister station. One thing he wrote just now was, for friends in Buffalo that don't follow the Amerks that closely, here are some key points. And he mentions the Amerks could get it, could win it all, but the first point is, Levi is ready for you. Enjoy him in October, which is what we started the show with a little bit. Just back-to-back shutouts in the playoffs. How far can the Amerks take it? How far can Levi take them? So that's exciting. We also talked a little bit about the rivalry series in the NFL and these uniform concepts. Joe's working up some concepts. I'm waiting for a good one, Joe.
Yeah,
go ahead and make the uniform out of buffalo fur. Give me one of those if you want.
Yes,
a brown one.
Wait,
punch it all in your image creator. Have it be chicken wings, and just give me a uniform that's not the fall one that you've created that makes them look like the Browns.
I thought you would like the fall one more than anybody.
No, it doesn't work.
It's not the brown. There's red in here, and it's not the Browns.
Needs more yellow if it's going to be a fall uniform. Anyway, he's working on that. Yeah. Jake and Cheektowaga. Hey, Jake, what's up?
Hey, boys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
I just want to talk about the draft and how I just felt it was very underwhelming on the offensive portion. I mean, our first offensive pickup was in the fifth round. A tight end, I honestly believe we didn't really need. We could have just signed our old tight end three-back, Quinton Morris, and fall into Brandon Bean, a little fiasco with the radio show. I mean, he comes on, says, oh, we shouldn't have got a receiver, what, blah, blah, blah. And then here we go, signing Elijah Moore. And I don't know, I think Elijah Moore is a decent player, but I mean, look at Amari Cooper last year. We were all excited bringing him in, but did he produce? Not really. All these one-year pickups are not really producing for us, and I'm just wondering, like, what would have to change for that to happen? Is it drafting up, getting receivers early on? Like, just seeing your guys' thoughts.
About more offensive help. I mean, they don't have that many jobs. Listen, go ahead, Joe.
It's more about, I think the better conversation is more about the top end of those skill positions and what their ideology is when it comes to building an offense. And they have clearly prioritized the offensive line and even tight end and running back to a lesser degree as run game and balanced and good yak receivers is enough with this quarterback to be one of the best couple of offenses in the NFL. And 1 year into that experiment, they were right. I wonder if they will, the way Bean talked this week, I mean, I don't think this is on the horizon, but will they ever feel that there is another way to do it? That the way they did it when Allen first became elite is a way they should try again. If a star receiver comes on the market, will they have any interest a year from now? You know? Like, yep. I don't know the answers to those questions, because right now I feel like I do know the answer. The answer is that they don't think they need one.
Well,
At the top end.
Sure, sure.
The depth of the position and the position group as a whole is, to me, better than it was last year. So, is that enough? If I'm right in that there's going to be regression on turnovers, is their receiver group good enough to make up that difference? Is Kincaid's step forward going to be good enough to make up that difference? I think you could definitely make that case right now.
Well, it's not about statistics for the year. I know that, like, that's awesome. Josh Allen leading them to an amazing an amazing season again is totally likely. I like their group. Do we like their group now more than we did in the AFC Championship game? I think the answer to that is yes.
Yes.
We do. Because
yeah, I do.
So if it's 4th and 5 again in the AFC Championship game, do they have to throw orbit motion to Khalil Shakir? Which is what they were probably looking to do, and then that all-out blitz comes and Allen throws to Kincaid, right?
Right.
If it's the AFC Championship game again with this group, is it still a screen? It's not to Amari Cooper. It's to somebody else, and maybe Elijah Moore's better for that job. Or maybe Josh Palmer's better for that job. You know, like, they can definitely win and succeed like this again. You know, people bringing this conversation back up. You say you don't think they need one. I think they went to the draft thinking they were going to get one and didn't fall that way. And that is normal. That is a lot of teams. It's one thing about the draft that, you know, this isn't a Bills point, it's an everybody point. Everybody goes into the draft thinking we're going to get these things and we're not going to get everything we want. There are, they pick 9 players over the course of 240 picks. 9 out of 240. How many graded players would there have been on the board? They probably graded 200 draft-worthy players mm-hmm. that they would have taken. And, you know, once you select those players, those become your guys. Before the draft, we're all sitting here saying, like, I wonder who I'm going to go to war for. Is it going to be Maxwell Hairston or Trey Amos? They take Hairston. Bang. Hairston's my guy. This kind of gets to going back to the quarterback conversation about when they drafted Allen. We all lined up, like, who do we like? Who do you think is going to be good? The moment they draft Allen, maybe you react, you don't like it, but 2 days later, you're like, well, it's my guy now. He's on my team.
Right.
He's wearing my laundry, so let's go. Let's do it. And you know, it's not like people, not like Bills fans are going to root against the draft pick. You don't have to like the pick. You don't have to like what they do. You don't have to like, some fans don't like their coach. Some fans don't like their defensive tackle. Some fans don't like, you know, but
yeah.
But they become your guy.
Yeah. I can't say enough this week that just if you, and this every fan has done this over time. I mean, how many people will debate whether they like to pick or not? Just because you don't like something that the team does doesn't mean you're not a true fan.
Sure.
And you're not more of a true fan because you just blindly say, I love everything they've done. If there's a couple little things, big things, I didn't like their 4th round pick. I wanted this guy instead of in the 1st round. If you love the Bills and you're going to show up to the stadium and, you know, go to the games, you're still as true a fan as everybody else is.
Yeah. Be a fan however you want to be a fan. Brad in Lackawanna. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, so I happened to chime in, and I heard the whole fiasco, Brandon Bean, this, that. And I kind of have, like, a theory on maybe why he did it, but not to, like, slight you guys in any way. So my theory is that the agent was in town, the player was in town, and he just really didn't – he wanted to keep it mum on how we needed a receiver, and he tried to, like, commit you guys saying we don't need a receiver to kind of show that – as like a ploy to save money when they're negotiating. You know what I'm saying? Like a negotiating day, I think, or something like that. Or he was hungover. Those are my two theories.
All right. Thanks, Brad. I mean, they signed.
I mean,
he said on One Bills Live that they talked with Moore before the draft and put a pin in it and said, we'll get back because we'll see how the draft goes. And he said they did that with a couple other guys in positions. And because, you know, if we end up spending a first or second round pick, he's maybe not going to want to come here. Some version of that. He said that on One Bills Live. So, I, you know, the idea of a ploy about negotiating, Moore had a tender that meant he was going to have $3.4 million guaranteed if he played anywhere. He was going to get paid.
Yeah.
$3.4 million to go back to the Browns or to go somewhere else. Like, he had that money guaranteed. If I understand how that tender works, which is like this new kind of tender that hadn't been used in the NFL in 3 years, and we kind of just learned about it. So my guess is it was not some sort of ploy about Moore. Like, he did know Moore was a fallback plan going in on Thursday and Friday. And, you know, here we are on Saturday. It's the 4th round. Should we take this guy? He's like, I can get Elijah Moore. I don't need to draft this receiver. I can sign Elijah Moore. That makes total sense.
Yeah. It also is the implication there that us talking about it cost the Bills leverage in a negotiation with Elijah Moore?
No, yeah, I wouldn't believe that.
Like, come on.
Adam in Amherst. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hey, I just wanted to say, Jeremy, I give you a lot of credit for how you handled the call the other day with Brandon Bean as far as standing your ground. I mean, he's on the Pat McAfee show, and if he doesn't want, like, flowers from everybody, and you guys gave it to him straight. Now I'll say this. The Bills didn't lose the AFC Championship game last year because of offense. The defense was Swiss cheese, and he accomplished what he needed to in the draft. So, you know, I firmly believe, like, we'll see how this draft turns out in 2 or 3 years from now. But on paper, I like what they did here. And as far as the receiver, Elijah Moore, is he a third receiver, fourth receiver? Like you just said, I mean, the board didn't set up the way they wanted it to in the third or fourth round, so they went more defense. I mean, Deion Walker is probably a wild card. I mean, if they can get his back healthy, great. If not, then it wasn't a good pick. So anyway, hey, I really appreciate you guys. I do appreciate the fact that you stood your ground on Monday. I thought that was great. If Bean doesn't like it, then, hey, he's got to get out of the kitchen and shouldn't be on the Pat McAfee show. Thanks,
Adam. Yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time going over, like, all of what happened. I've dedicated some to defending his defense of his point. I think there's plenty to say about the way that they're doing it. And for him to say, I've seen it work, is correct. What they did last year worked to a point. One thing about it, and maybe it's a conversation for another day, in like 2 months, because everyone's kind of maybe exhausted of this, but the idea that, like, we didn't lose the game because of our wide receivers. What would that look like?
Losing the game because of your wide receivers?
Because you could say you lost the game because of the defense. When you give up 32 points, it's a very easy, that's what happened. Like, that's true. But we didn't lose the game because of our wide receivers.
Well,
that is debatable. The defense, of course, was a problem for the whole season in this game. No one would dispute that. However, how did the Eagles win? They won with their defense. They also won with their wide receivers going nuts on the Chiefs. Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, they were fine.
Right.
And they went nuts on the Commanders in the game before. And, you know, it's not to say – I also feel like this kind of conversation has been hijacked and strawmanned to the nth degree. Like, they're all just saying you can't win without a number one. Like, that's definitely not what happened. It was all about, like, we thought you'd get a speed guy, a vertical element, and then, you know, the fallback plan when that didn't happen is Elijah Moore. I do think most of it is pretty cut and dry. Most of it is pretty easy to see what happened and along the way people got mad, which is actually normal for football. That's another thing that happens here is we'll talk about how if McDermott and Bean or if Bean and or if Allen's yelling at his offensive line or if some coach is yelling at a player, like, it's a competitive environment. That tempers will flare to back up what you think is a normal thing that happens, I think, probably all the time. And the difference is, from the NFL community, you just almost never see it. Think about how much we got out of Diggs raising his arms at Allen twice, which it never came out what was said. It was a lot of inferring what was said, and that's a major problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, these behind-the-scenes spats and arguments between coaches and players across the league. The Eagles, what? Who is it? Some guy said that Eagles had to trade A.J. Brown because he read a book on the sideline. Yeah. I got to get rid of him. You've lost control of your locker room. A.J. Brown's reading a book.
I mean, Sirianni got into it with players like 9 times during the season on the sidelines.
Dust-ups and conflicts are probably a lot more normal than we really understand or know.
Sure.
And this one came out on the radio and, you know, I also want to acknowledge that everybody calling and saying we did a good job is a road game for him. He comes here, you listen to us, you know us. It's a road game. So I want to give him his flowers, his credit for standing up for what he believes in, too. 803-0550 on WGR. We'll talk with Nick the Railbird from Batavia Downs coming up at 9:30. Get our official pick in. In the Kentucky Derby. Should be a Buffalo Derby. Let's have a Buffalo Derby.
Yeah?
Let's get some horses.
Can they get that at the new stadium?
You know which NFL player is going to be doing Derby stuff on, like, NFL.com, a content creator at the Derby? Is Xavier Leggett.
Really?
Why no Ed Oliver?
He's a horse racing guy?
Yeah, Xavier Leggett loves horses.
Yeah.
Ed loves horses.
Ed Oliver does.
Let's get Ed Oliver to the Derby.
Yeah.
You literally see him riding horses in the street.
Yeah.
Is he like horse racing, though, or just like he just likes to, you know, ride himself?
Horses that don't race?
Yeah. He should be involved, though, in some degree. Xavier Leggett.
Yeah, Xavier Leggett going to the Derby. I don't know if it's for NBC. I just saw the NFL account tweeting it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, picking up a social side gig for the 2025 Kentucky Derby. He is going to be the NFL's social correspondent. So, yeah. In a video featuring him, he and his buds Steve and Ronnie, and appropriately enough, a thoroughbred racehorse.
You know what goes great with a mint julep is a raccoon soup.
That's right. He's...
Or whatever Xavier Leggett cooks. He cooks raccoon, for those that don't know.
Would try it.
It's crazy. Would not try an egg salad sandwich, but would try raccoon.
I would try raccoon.
Prepared by Panthers wide receiver Xavier Leggett.
Yes, I would try that soup. I would try it. I'm ready for it. 803-0550, Sam Monson, the Check the Mic podcast on the Bills defense. The Bills building a fortress on that side of the ball. We'll chat with Sam Monson coming up here on WGR.